Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. At home today, actually. Didn't feel great yesterday. Rested half the day. Saw something, decided I should do a Scales of Truth. Actually, went ahead and did a rehearsal one, which is sometimes what I do when I realize I start in a certain spot and then get too interstitial. So I'm just going to warn you, this might get quite interstitial despite the initial subject matter. What this is going to be is a case study of a psychological technique by the lying agencies. I say that with capital letters, TLA, the lying agencies. And, or if you will, some, you know, offshoot rebel areas of them. They're, you know, if you will, off the plantation, as the term is sometimes used for CIA agents that aren't really necessarily are just off doing their own thing and using some of the techniques and some of the resources without really having a full go ahead from the majority. So this is, we're going to start with the interesting psychological technique here. Someone found this, and I remember reading this and going, it's going to be a clip from World Trade Center 9/11, rather. And I'm going to first let you listen to it. And then we're going to, maybe some of you guys, it'll be, you'll know what I'm talking about. Other people are going to show in real time this idea of once you know to look for something, it changes your outlook. So this is from World Trade Center 7, 9/11. So go ahead and listen to this and then we'll discuss it again.
You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Okay, so that's a Mark Walsh. Mark Walsh. I'm going to have you listen again. You heard some of the segments here, but sometimes because you're not able to watch it, it's from video. I'm going to have you listen again.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Okay. So you heard that a couple things we'll point out. One thing is the guy took immediate control. I mean, it wasn't answering questions. Okay, what did he say? 43rd floor. Five blocks away, I saw the whole thing. He said that he was with a roommate. He said that it went all the way through the second one. It came out the other side. And he said then that he gave a reason for why they went down. Okay, so with that, I'm now going to state, since some of you guys are probably caught on, the World Trade Center 7 shouldn't have gone down. It was not hit. 9/11 was an inside job. I can imagine if you guys listen to me, I can't remember how many times I've mentioned it. If I have, you might have figured. I can tell you, and I mentioned this in previous episodes, knowing Oklahoma City was only, 7 years before that. When I found out about 9/11, I can tell you I went into immediate, I'm not going to go there mode for over a year. I did not go there with any suspicion whatsoever. I don't know that I was into the Patriot Act. I wasn't, in fact. But I did not go there as far as this being there being any suspicious aspects to it for over a year. And then I was on a summer job going to grad school, and some relative youngster, he had just graduated high school or something, started mentioning some of this. And at first I went, "You sure?" Like, and I got to admit, I was a little like, "Eh, I don't know about that." But as a result, I did look into it. So it was not until, in fact, it was actually 2 years later, over 2 years later, or right at 2 years later, that I first looked at it in summer of 03. And then I started looking into it, realizing it. So the point here is that there are these things called crisis actors. They've been used a lot. You need to look that up yourself. But once you know there are crisis actors, that sometimes they're witnesses, sometimes they're involved in the situation. The tie-in here is, and I said this is once I realized this, there were crisis actors, I started piecing together, why is it that these emergency, which is hilarious because exactly the mechanism that they used for COVID to really get control of things. In these emergency management offices that were thrown around the country with federal money, their county emergency management offices, why do they do such realistic drills and bring it? They go, "Hey, local actors, you think you can come be a victim for us?" Why? Don't your paramedics already know what to do with victims based on why does all this have to be one giant scene? Paramedics already get their training specifically on, somebody has shrapnel damage. So why does that have to be in the middle of an entire exercise? That doesn't make sense. Why does it have to be in near an actual building? I mean, have you ever heard of imagination? Do they not have procedures? Why would you create an entire scenario in an actual area when any part of these, including your procedures, are already known? Emergency management and the like is already known. Now, that's an aside. Something I picked up after the idea of once I realized there were crisis actors and there were people that showed up in multiple large events. But then you go, okay, if there are crisis actors, and this is what we're getting to here, how can I spot them? Well, maybe we'll get into psychological aspects of when they're used and why. Well, me having an acting background and really just kind of being I've written a lot in the past as far as I've been in a writer in advertising and the like, right? And then I do have a legal background, so I've done plenty of reading and writing there in my day-to-day job. At least deals with either drafting, writing in the broad sense, or in reviewing writing and giving specific feedback, and you know, reviewing documents and the like, formal deliverables and such, and you know, giving background on how to make that more clear, how to make it more valid. So I am, I don't want to say a wordsmith per se, a little bit of that, but I've never. You know, I'm able to write informally and formally. I've written web content professionally. I've written documents professionally and so on. I've written presentations and the like. So I am a little bit of a wordsmith, and understand how people, you know, use their language. So here I said this is an obvious crisis actor. Once I knew that WTC7 shouldn't have gone down because it shouldn't have. Maybe we'll get to that. Maybe I'll put it in a different episode. But the long story short is that outside walls are not the support structure for large structures. Outside walls are support structures for small structures like houses. But for large high rises, they're very rarely the support structure. Instead, reinforced columns are. So you have to really get into and devastate the internal reinforced columns. Well, there was some debris that came from the two large towers, but none of it came in enough to really devastate the reinforced columns of WTC-7. So WTC-7 is a smoking gun here, wherever it came from, as far as the debris, and however it happened. WTC-7, a 47-story building, is the smoking gun of 9/11. How many people are involved is another whole thing. But, you know, Giuliani is saying we got to pull it. We're going to have to pull it. And then coming down and it coming down in a demolition fashion. So regardless of all that, my proposal is that this is a crisis actor. Now, knowing that I believe it's a crisis actor, let's listen again, and then I'm going to tell you where the suspicious stuff is, but you try to find it too.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Okay, so here are the points on this guy being a crisis actor. The last phrase should have absolutely got your attention because witnesses don't explain why. They explain what. Right? The eyewitnesses would go, man, the fire was huge. I couldn't believe the black smoke. When it came down, it was crazy. We couldn't see in the, I got the view of the plumes of the, you know, the dust, you know, going through the alleys. Cause he got all that view. Remember? He saw both of them go down and he explains the why. Witnesses don't go to why. So that's one. Mostly due to structural failure, due to the intensity of the fires. That's not what eyewitnesses do. He takes control immediately. He doesn't even wait for the question. Three, that last little key phrase of a few sentences, it's something he's recited. It sounds like something he's recited, right? It's something he has rehearsed and he is reciting now. I don't know what I'm on. Another one, it's not, he sets up his credibility early. That he's 43 stories up, five blocks away. Not that a regular witness wouldn't have said that, but it might have had to be spurred by a question. He's so ready to take over the entire. I'm going to start with my credibility. I had a great view, 43 stories up. It's like usually you would expect, and again, none of these by themselves until you go, you have to kind of go with circumstantial to go, once you suspect something, you have to then start to go, now why else do I suspect this? And then you piece it together and do further evidence. And so he starts immediately. The guy goes, oh, so I'm here with Mark Walsh. Oh, and here's another one. We'll get to it. But, well, I'll hold off on that. So where were you when you saw it? You know, the guy's ready. He's already with his entire package of information evidenced as and written as quickly as possible to be 45 seconds. That is writ. It's ready to go. He wants to make sure none of this is missed. But what's the other thing? Oh, he's a Fox freelancer. They already know him. So then he goes from his apartment complex, or whatever it is, his condo, his 43rd story, gets down to be man on the street interview because he's a freelancer. And knows this guy already. So that's interesting. Yeah, he says he has a roommate, which adds to the implied credibility. It just now turns it into two eyewitnesses. Not one, two. I mean, impliedly. We don't know who the eyewitness is. We don't know why this guy's down here by now. And I should look for the timestamp to see how quickly he went from 43rd story down to give this great corner, you know, on the street interview. No, because it looks more credible than if I was just calling for my 43rd story condo and giving them the information. Look, we've got a man on the street. Now, it's true that reporters like the man on the street. So maybe he would have said, hey, can you think you could meet me down here? And maybe that could happen. Don't get me wrong. But as in the whole, this is the thing. So, yeah, we knew him. He's available for man on the street, even though he was on the 43rd floor. Oh, he states the view immediately. This is not the way eyewitnesses act. Okay. Now, Some of them might, but it's a matter of probability, right? For this to be a perfect little 45-second package where the reporter basically doesn't have to cue him for anything. But then I'm going to say specifically, again, the reason that it's really, it was already curious. But the smoking gun here as to him being a crisis actor is that eyewitnesses don't go into why. Eyewitnesses in an emotional situation say what happened, obviously because. They don't say because unless you go, well, why do you think, for instance, what? Why do you think that the guy, the fight started? But this isn't that. This isn't, well, what do you think was the big reasoning? Well, we already know the big reasoning if there's no question, right? The big reasoning is both planes got hit by an airplane. So why are you going into the engineering aspects of it? Obviously due to structural damage caused by the intensity of the fire. That's a planted idea, right? There's no reason an eyewitness normally goes into that narrative. That's left for later, not on the corner eyewitnesses. So let's listen again.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the...
So again, like this guy didn't even get his first sentence out before this guy is ready to take it on. Remember, this is less than 42 seconds. This whole clip is 42 seconds. And he went, dude! All right, let's rewind that just a hair.
I'm on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks...
Let's listen to that again.
...for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed...
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
All right. The entire thing from beginning to end. So, again, establishing the credibility. Well, no, he didn't. He then states, well, I mean, a few minutes after the first one was hit. So that's not the entire thing. But you say it. It's not like an eyewitness wouldn't say that. The reporter would say, well, what did you see? And then he'd say, like, well, you know, obviously we heard, we could hear the first building. And so that's what got us looking over there. And then we saw the second one. No. He starts with, oh, no. I witnessed the whole thing from beginning to end. You know, as though he's at the window, which then makes you go, man, couldn't you come up with a better story? You happen to be looking out the window anyway. Your apartment faces that direction. No. He witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the tower.
What's interesting thing, it'd be interesting with body language. I'm not a body language expert, but I know I've heard this type of thing where somebody does the opposite. And this guy is shaking his head no during this little phase as the reporter is, you know, and that can go like, yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, partially he goes, don't you think that people do kind of do the no thing, even if they are agreeing? But some people, I know, I've seen the language experts go, see how this is not actually consistent with what he's meaning to say. Like, this is the nonverbal cue from himself that he's not realizing to take it back over consciously. That while he's saying yes, the answer is no. And I'm not saying this can exactly transfer to this, but I'm going to go back and tell you when he starts to shake his head. He shakes his head multiple times when the reporter does come in here.
I saw both towers on fire.
Shake head.
Oh. When I came walking down here early this morning, and people talk about how it looked
shaking
like
his head.
When I came walking down here
shaking his
this
head.
Morning and saw both towers on fire.
Shaking his head.
On every street corner.
Shaking
was,
his head.
It was like a movie, but
shaking
you
his head.
The planes hit the tower.
Nod.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane.
Oh, so you didn't see the whole thing. Oh, interesting.
Come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side.
So you see how this is, it's, so what I've done in my past is write commercial ad copy, okay? And when you write commercial ad copy, you have space limitations, right? And you go, how do I say this quicker? And what's interesting about this is that it's so quick. Again, 42 seconds. It's unnatural. And it reamed through and it came out the other side. And we were just, he gets all of his, it's like he said, what all do I want to say? And I've got to make it seem natural because, or rather I've got to get it in because they don't talk to an eyewitness person for 4 minutes usually. So let's make it friendly for the, you know, man on the corner interview, but he doesn't realize that therefore his copy is now sounding more like copy, not, natural, where it's a stutter and it's like, you got to pull more out. Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know, he's written it too efficiently.
And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the came right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense. Mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense. Dude, eyewitnesses don't go into why in that detail. It's implied. They came down after the airplanes hit them, there was fire. And then they came down. It must have been cause and effect. So why are you trying to set more details on cause and effect? So that's the smoking gun there. But, and so that's a case study. Once you realize that there are bad actors, I mean that literally and figuratively, or rather in both terms, you know, sometimes it's the person who acts, and other times it means they're putting on a fake character. Once you realize there are bad actors, and the lying agencies do what they do, go find my episode on the FBI, you know, catching the people in a plot that they created. And once you realize that the FBI, unfortunately, now is a bad actor, and I don't want to be clear, the FBI, when they're doing their basic job, they're the heroes. They're some of the prime heroes in the United States. The type of job that we root for because we watch Criminal Minds and the like, where literally there are bad guys, literally they're doing great police work and finding bad guys who do awful things. When they're doing their basic mission, the FBI, they're heroic. That's the only way you can say it. But unfortunately, they are now among the alphabet soup of the lying agencies. That's with a capital T, L, and A. Honestly, there's an umbrella group of agencies called the lying agencies, and that they might as well put that in the hierarchy, whose partial or full job is to deceive. And the CIA started it, and the FBI now dabbles in it. And I don't know where this guy came from, but remember, he's absolutely available, and he's just a freelance guy who they already know. Case study. Once you have that, what does that look like? Like this, right here, is what it looks like. We know there are crises actors, and they take on different roles. Sometimes they're the main people. And if you don't believe that there's crises actors, then, you know, realize emergency management does emergency management drills for no good reason, where they bring in real settings, the entirety. You don't think ambulance people can practice what to do by themselves with people who are supposedly have a certain injury? You don't think that fire department can understand how to coordinate an event in real life and have procedures for it and can practice that separately? I mean, it's communication. You don't think that, say, a fire chief, based on a certain facts of the fire, are able to understand how to and try to put into practice, the strategy of dealing with a fire separately? One of the mechanisms here, instead they don't do that. Instead, they do these, they bring in actors to play, it's a French word, where you have to deal with the victims, the I can't think of it right now, the you know, badly injured, very simple word. And the actors, you know, put on their little fake blood. Oh, look, okay, you're going to act like you've been struck in the head with shrapnel. Okay, you're going to act. And so you've got to present a certain thing so that the first responders can try to figure out what's wrong with you. Okay, so you're bringing in actors for that. Is there any reason inside the hospital and the hospital training and the first responder training that other workers couldn't already do that, couldn't present that? Why are you bringing in outside? So this is the emergency management offices literally bring in community actors to do these drills out in the regular world. Instead of, you can do all of these practice drills on a regular basis in the individual areas. Do you really think the first responders, does it matter the generally broader area, the generally broader context of when they have somebody who has shrapnel in their stomach? Does it matter whether it's because it's downtown or whether it's in the wilderness? No, they're supposed to respond to the individual problem. So these emergency management, just like COVID, it ended up becoming a central command organism. It was in February. You can go look up the episode I talked about on that, where literally the Wikipedia article talks about how early emergency management were brought in to start conspiring with the planning and not act individual. All of the various emergency management offices were brought in on these big, giant national meetings to know that you will act in tow with what the central authorities say. You will not analyze separately in the COVID response. This is what's happening, and this is how you will respond, good soldier. You are there so that individual institutions locally do not try to individually judge the risk and the concern. And in fact, you will be the bullhorn for the full narrative. So crisis actors do exist. And as far as how they can exist, you've probably seen the various, forget this guy who was probably an FBI plant, a CIA plant. And remember, we have Operation Mockingbird. Was that the one where literally they planted or they have on the payroll for a side hustle actual reporters and or are placing actual reporters? If that exists, oh, don't worry, that stopped a long time ago. No, it didn't. Anderson Cooper, quote, was an intern with the CIA for 2 summers. Okay, so if we have those, then we're not very far removed from even the reporters being crisis actors. And then we have our emergency response who, you know, says, hey, we're going to be doing an exercise, and we'd like you to be the actor. And whatever actor just flips their lid, you know, has a little enjoyment, too much enjoyment over, that was so cool, man. We got to put on blood. And, you know, you now have the pool of the idiots who just want to be actors and then go, hey, you think you'd go for another side hustle and you'd be an actor here? What about here? Do you believe in America? Do you believe in our cause? Would you be an actor for this? Would you be an actor for that? There are crisis actors. It's a level of degree. You know about the Craigs. Listen, here's the other related thing as far as crisis actors. You know, we all know, that instead of some of these protests, George Floyd and the like, being organic, some people who don't have anything better to do and are literally looking for money got paid $15 or $25 an hour to go to, whether it's St. Louis or wherever the protests were, to ride on the bus. They got paid to be crisis actor protesters. That's what that is. Protesters are organic. If instead, through who knows what funding, you pay your protesters, then would they have left their area to protest en masse without the pay? Protesters are supposed to be, we are so mad that we dropped everything and came here. Whatever our everything was, whether it was sitting on our butts, collecting welfare checks, whether it was making decent money but needing a side hustle, so we took vacation on that day because we had paid vacation so we can do with it what we want, and now we can make more money whether it's, hey, I kind of believe in the cause anyway, but now that I'm making money for it, I'll definitely go ahead. I kind of wanted to go, but was never going to arrange it. But since I'm getting paid too, then yeah. And it's through Craigslist, right? So is it by cash? Yes, of course it's by cash. It's organized crime. Of course it's by cash. They didn't end up, you know, going, okay, well, let's set you up as an employee here. Did you go ahead and make sure you put that down as a W-9 contract employee? No. It's organized crime. It's through cash. So we know that these things happen. We know that even just protesters are literally crisis actors. So you already have among your group of, you're creating your pool of who would be more of a crisis actor. Man, they did great. Man, you were so believable and so active. You didn't just, like, I would be a great crisis actor. Because if I believe in something, I'm going to be the one who, you know, who's loud about it. I've been in radio. I do podcasts. If I have a message, if I'm going to be a liar, I'll be the loudest liar there. The difference is I'm not going to be a liar. So, but the point is that among your crisis protesters, you'll find the guys who are with it, right? Like, they're going. They're like, they are into it. They are the brown shirts, right? And you go, hey, no, you did a great job today. Any chance you're interested in more money? Or you find the people are like, forget they weren't the brown shirts. They weren't violent. They were just very convincing and seemed to believe in the cause. And so if they believe in the cause, what else will they do for the cause? What else will they? Will you lie to be a, quote, January 6th protester, even though you're from Antifa? And literally have been found in Antifa previously, but now you're a January 6th protester, and you know, supporting Trump. You know, you can find these people who are for a dollar, or $100, or $1,000 under the table, that is untaxed or otherwise, going to be with it, and you're going to be able to find those crisis actors that are part time and or through a lying agency indoctrination. Who's up for the lies? Who's up for, hey, I know this seems shady, but it's not shady because it's the FBI and we're trying to, you know, root out those who would hurt the country. And so to root out those who would, quote, hurt the country, we must set up a deceptive ploy. Who's with it? And then you get to, you know, play to their ego. Oh, man, this is a special assignment. Oh, wow. And can you keep a secret? Oh, yeah, I could keep a secret. So crisis actors exist. If you don't believe they exist, either formally or informally, that is through formal employment or through informal, you know, dollars on the side, well, then you got to be a real, real dummy. This world has turned into more and more manipulation, and we've never had any more than we have now. So with that, again, let's just close it out with what this sounds like one more time for you.
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witness.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
All right, yes. So literally, again, 42 seconds, he got all those points in. What's the big thing for most people? Just the impression of a credible witness. Do most people look into it further? Again, once you know, you know. And if you use your brain, you can go, okay, let me try to analyze that in that thing that I know, that there are crisis actors. Once you know, you know. And then if you then go, I know, and let me apply what I know, that this is a real thing, that they can't blue pill me and make me believe that whatever they say is true. I know, and since I know, I think in this case I'm going to try to apply this and the ways to understand whether or not this is deception or truth. And again, 42 seconds, got all of his points in, took over almost immediately from the reporter, sets credibility five blocks away, sets the impression that he saw all of it, even though moments later he says he didn't see all of it, sets he had a great view. But hey, the Fox people already knew him. He's a freelance reporter, works freelance for Fox. So once you know, you know. And once you know Operation Mockingbird, that does seem, okay, that's interesting. Wonder what else he did. When did he appear before then? And probably on some subreddit before, you know, Reddit turned into you don't get to actually say the entirety of the truth. You just get to argue among a smaller amount of allowable discussion. Before it turned into that, which was a very specific exercise, and I can't remember when that happened. I think that was around Sandy Hook time period. You could have found plenty of Reddits and subreddits on Mark Walsh, I'm sure, and probably a lot of people did crowdsource. Well, where else did he supposedly contribute to Fox News locally? Was he there for even a year before? Was he there for 2 weeks after? I don't know, but all I know is that he's a convenient connection, given everything else. Is able to package his story in less than 42 seconds. Oh, perfect view. Oh, multiple witnesses. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw all of it. Well, I mean, my roommate was there, and we, you know, starting with the second one. Oh, and it went straight through exploded out the other side. And then he goes into the reasoning, even though there's no reason to go to the reasoning, right? There's no reason to testify as a structural engineer, right? There's zero reason for him to testify as a structural engineer. Zero, nada. So why did he do it? Well, yes, exactly. Why did he do it? It was already implied that the airplane is what took it down, right? And so why did he go into, obviously due to structural failure, due to the intensity of the fires? Because he wanted to plant that seed. But for those with discerning eyes, discerning ears, that is an absolutely artificial statement. Well, but for those that without discerning ears, it was the first time, well, obviously due to structural failure. Why? Well, why did they come down? Well, obviously due to structural failure due to the intensity of the fires. Yep. Guys, case study. Crisis actors exist. Case study of how to use your discerning ears and discerning eyes to go to the probability, to analyze the probability of whether you're seeing one in a certain case. In this case, too much, took over too much. Witnesses talk about emotions. Witnesses off the street are not great witnesses. Now, and so isn't it convenient that, oh, well, that's, I mean, this guy's trained after all. I mean, he works for Fox freelance. So, but he still took over just way too much. I mean, shouldn't he be in eyewitness mode? And again, why did he go to the why past the why? The why is already known, obviously due to structural failure, due to the intensity of the fires, as that was going to be the narrative. Real eyewitnesses don't do that. Real eyewitnesses say the facts that they saw. They don't say the why and the mechanical reasons. That's not how eyewitnesses work. Okay, guys, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Hartley.